Can you kind of track into the Topo II story and how that relates also to the issue of HER2 negative disease?
Absolutely. I think probably this is one of the most fascinating stories that have come out of the HER2 program, and I'm a big advocate for trastuzumab and that, but what we learned about the HER2 alteration and its impact on non-HER2 positive patients is pretty remarkable. We all know, and as medical oncologists, almost all of us use anthracycline-based therapy to treat all of breast cancer. And that's based on the meta-analysis, the Oxford overview, that showed that there's a 4-5% survival advantage when we use anthracycline-based therapy over non-anthracycline. Now, that was putting together a number of trials, some of which were negative, showing no difference of anthracycline over non-anthracycline, and some of which were positive. But when they were all put together, it was felt that there was a 4-5% advantage. However, when we were putting together the 006 study for presentation and for publication, we reviewed the literature critically and started to see some remarkable data. And the data, as it exists from a number of groups, the CLGB, which was the first to show a hint that this was going on, and then two of the big NSABP trials, then the Canadian MA5 trial, then there are some European trials that the Italians have reported on, a total of between 7 and 9 trials all show exactly the same thing, and that is that despite what we thought, that we were getting an anthracycline incremental benefit in all of breast cancer, it was restricted to the HER2 subgroup. And that's only 20-25% of all breast cancer, yet all women were getting anthracycline therapy. When you compared the anthracycline to CMF or the anthracycline to LPAM and 5-FU, which is not a commonly used regimen because it's not so good, the anthracycline added virtually nothing to those regimens. And then most recently, the MA5 trial looked at epirubicin, which is felt by some to be an even more effective anthracycline. And importantly, it should be noted that it was used at super industrial doses of 120 milligrams per meter squared, so essentially FEC versus CMF. And once again, that data, which was just reported last year in the New England Journal, showed that there was virtually no advantage of anthracycline-based therapy over non-anthracycline-based therapy for the vast majority of human breast cancer. Then we started to look at the 006 trial because we had this non-anthracycline arm. And when we compared, we looked at the patients that were HER2 positive. We had done preclinical studies to show that HER2 by itself didn't appear to be imparting this benefit. But at this point, we knew that there was another gene in the HER2 amplicon that was co-amplified some percentage of the time. And that gene is topoisomerase 2 alpha. And Topo 2 is a target of anthracycline-based therapy. So we asked, if you were co-amplified versus non-co-amplified, would that make any impact? The first question was, how often does it happen in HER2-positive patients? And it turns out it happens about a third of the time. So to translate into the numbers for the general population of breast cancer, that means one-third of one-quarter of the patients, or about 8% of the world population of breast cancer, has HER2 and Topo2 co-amplified. It turns out that when that happens, you can use anthracycline alone and you get a Herceptin-like benefit without the Herceptin. But that's for a small number of patients. If you use Herceptin without the anthracycline, you get the same benefit that's been reported. And if you use a non-anthracycline chemo, TCH, you get exactly the same benefit. The curves are identical. They overlap completely. So that would indicate that the only role for anthracycline-based therapy today is in one-third of one-quarter of patients, or about 8%, whereas 92% of women derive no benefit from anthracycline-based therapy in terms of an incremental improvement, but they derive all the toxicity, the cardiomyopathies, the congestive heart failure, leukemia, and the myelodysplasia. So I don't believe there's a role for these drugs in the adjuvant setting if you can use trastuzumab.